Welcome to eMoney's Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate. Day to day, I'm an e-learning specialist and Bamboo success coach, and today I'm your podcast host. In this episode, I'm bringing in Group Product Manager Josh Belfiore, and we're talking about everything Decision Center. Okay, well, not quite everything. Truth be told, we'd need more than one episode to cover everything Decision Center. But you can expect to get a great look at what the Decision Center is, how you can use it to elevate your work as an advisor, and also some exciting things we've got coming. So now I'll leave it to Josh to spill the rest of today's Decision Center details. Thanks so much for joining us today, Josh. Before we dive into everything Decision Center, I'd love for you to tell listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do here at eMoney.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I am the group product manager at eMoney, responsible for advisor experience, which basically means our planning tools. Everything ranging from advanced planning to foundational planning to the kind of individual calculators like needs analysis that we have. I've been at eMoney for about 5 years at this point. Prior to eMoney, I was myself a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch for about 8 years or so, and spent a lot of time at Merrill Lynch thinking through those bigger thematic challenges that advisors face, like how do we connect all the different pieces of wealth management tech into a singular experience. So that is very much the work that we're focused on here and the work that I lead in my position.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that information with us. I think it's super helpful, especially for listeners to know that you've been in their shoes, you've been an advisor, and you've been doing the work that they are doing day to day. Chances are we have some listeners who are experienced Decision Center users, but we also probably have some who aren't familiar with the Decision Center at all. Can you start by giving us a high-level overview of the Decision Center and what it allows us to do?
Yeah, great foundational question, because Decision Center is an area that has come into increasing focus for eMoney over the past few years and has undergone this like really massive evolution over the past few years, especially like when we look back over the past year or so. The gist of Decision Center, if I were to sum this up in a couple of sentences, is that it is two primary things. The first is that it is a planning tool. It is a real-time, very responsive tool for advisors to look at a client's situation and figure out what advice to be giving to that client. So financial planning tool is kind of one very important use case. But the second is that it serves as this much more dynamic presentation or collaborative engagement tool between advisor and client. Think of the ways that advisors would traditionally present a plan or talk a client through a plan via PDF or Word document. This can function the same way, but in a much more dynamic way, allowing for a lot more collaboration between advisor and client. And what Decision Center does really well is it spans a range of topics, allowing advisors to go broad in their analysis or in their narratives with clients, but also allows them to go deeper into the details of any given topic. So looking at cash flow from a high level view or drilling down into the details. So I think those two primary things are what Decision Center is really good at, is being a real-time responsive planning tool and a very kind of collaborative planning tool or presentation mechanism to use with clients.
Absolutely. It's been cool to see features released within the Decision Center, and you really get a close look at all that's going on behind the scenes, even more than myself. What's one of the features within or relating to Decision Center that you would say you're most excited about that's already launched in 2023?
Are you going to force me to pick just one? So there's definitely a lot that we've released, and it spans a good number of topics. But I think the one that I would put focus on would be some of the new Roth conversion functionality that we've released over the past few months, and with extra emphasis on the new tax reports that we have released. Two new tax reports being a tax bracket chart and a total taxes chart in Decision Center. And I think what's really impactful about these two new reports in Decision Center is that they help facilitate a very common planning conversation or common planning tactic that advisors will use with their clients in order to improve the situation. So doing a Roth conversion. Previously, our capabilities within our planning tool were limited on this subject. But now with that tax bracket chart, we let advisors get more detail into where those opportunities to do a Roth conversion might be and engage in kind of entirely new types of conversations with their clients. So I think I would put the focus on Roth conversion functionality in the new tax charts and Decision Center, just because of how basic that is and how vital to those planning conversations Roth conversion capabilities are. I think the other reason I'd call that out is just because tax content in general is very important to planning analysis and financial planning. And this is the first time that tax content was brought into Decision Center. Previously, there was none. So now it is. And I think that makes Decision Center an even more powerful tool than it was before. But I think there's a lot that is really exciting. I think one of the general themes that we're focused on is multiple value streams at once. So whether it's the new content in Decision Center or something like the Insights experience, we're doing a lot of really exciting things. But Roth conversion, I think, gets the spotlight for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's awesome that you really chose those to talk about, because I think that they really speak to the collaboration piece that you were mentioning earlier, really allowing advisors to collaborate with clients and get them involved in the financial planning process. And we'll get to talk a little bit more about that later within this episode. You did mention reports. And so one thing I wanted to ask you is, how are the Decision Center reports different from the rest of the reports that advisors see in eMoney?
Ooh, that's a big question. So I think it depends. One of the reasons I say it depends is because, first off, users have probably noticed over the past several months this influx of new reports into Decision Center. One of the reasons why we've been doing that is because we want to make that Decision Center experience more of this planning hub, more capable of being able to do planning across whatever topics an advisor cares about, and to do so in a more collaborative way with their clients. So in order to do that, we have to dramatically expand the content library that is accessible within Decision Center. So in the reports tab, well, there's like 300 plus reports across 40 plus topics. And in Decision Center, there's a much, much smaller subset of those reports. So we want to bring lots of reports into Decision Center. Much of this content is going to be rebuilding reports that already exist in the reports tab. And then as we do that, kind of making modifications based on ways to improve it or user feedback or whatever it might be. So for example, one of the reports we released recently was the balance sheet in Decision Center. This is a report, as you know, that we've had for a long time. It's a very foundational report. When we rebuilt it in Decision Center, we sat back and we asked, you know, what can we do to improve this report? And so we looked at what user feedback was. We were talking with our users, obviously, as we do when we build out new features. And one of the things we were hearing was, can we allow users to add in kind of out of estate balance sheet items onto the in estate balance sheet? Today, you can't do that in the kind of the legacy versions in the reports tab. But when we brought that into Decision Center, we added additional functionality so it can do things in Decision Center that it cannot do in the reports tab. I think another way the content library is different in Decision Center beyond those like modifications to reports that we make as we bring them in is there's reports in Decision Center that don't exist in the reports tab at all. And that tax bracket chart I mentioned before is a really good example of that. Another good example is the longevity risk report that eMoney released quite some time ago at this point. Two net new reports to eMoney in general. And the reason there is as we build out net new capabilities, expand the possibilities of what can be done in eMoney, we're very much focused on doing so within Decision Center. All net new content you'll see come into Decision Center while we are also migrating those top used reports from the reports tab into Decision Center and enhancing them. So it's a mix, really. Net new content that doesn't exist anywhere else, as well as like enhanced functionality that we've just migrated into Decision Center. And I think on a final note, Kate, this is less to do with the reports themselves and more about kind of how the reports behave. In Decision Center, you can get a lot more granular into kind of seeing how individual decisions you make as an advisor impact the chart in context. In Decision Center, the term used is techniques. So the individual changes that happen within a plan, you can see the impact of each one individually on whatever chart you care about. In the reports tab, you cannot get as granular into things. And I think the final thing, this was a feature introduced also quite some time ago, but it's become more relevant as more content materializes in Decision Center, is some of our Monte Carlo capabilities. So we've got this feature called Monte Carlo Single Trial. It's a drop-down menu above, like the top right of all the charts in Decision Center. And it lets our users view a chart reflective of a desired Monte Carlo trial, which means you could take a client's cash flow or their lifetime portfolio value chart or whatever visual and say, how would my client's situation look if we experienced below average market conditions or above average market conditions? So you can stress that plan in different ways than you would be able to do inside the reports tab. So I think between all those things, that's what makes the content that exists in Decision Center a little bit different and more enhanced from a functionality standpoint than the content that resides in the reports tab. Even though to this point, the content in the reports tab, that's a much larger library of content. Over time, we'll see them come more into parity with each other.
And even if, you know, that is a much larger library of content right now, it of course might be a biased perspective, but it does seem pretty evident the value that these Decision Center reports can bring to, you know, a financial plan for a client. I know that when you enter the Decision Center by default, an e-money user will really start at that lifetime portfolio value report. Is this a recommended start point for advisors working on financial planning within the Decision Center? Let's say, especially for someone, you know, who might be new to using the Decision Center.
Oh man, I hate to open two answers in a row with "it depends," but I'm going to do it. So I think it also depends on what the advisor is trying to accomplish in that moment or with planning in general. So I think, like, yes, the lifetime portfolio value chart is the default landing report, primarily because it is one of the better representations of the client's financial situation more holistically. I think there are some other good examples that do very good job of depicting that holistic picture, like the Monte Carlo summary report. But I think the important thing is that the content that advisors will find important, or the content that should be the starting point, or if we were to ask a bunch of advisors what they believe the starting point should be, the answer is likely to differ from advisor to advisor. The way advisors go about their work, what content is important to their analysis or developing recommendations for their clients is going to be a little bit different. If a client calls up his or her advisor and is like, hey, I want to buy this boat, but can I afford to do so? You know, will we still have a healthy confidence that my plan will be successful if I do that? As an advisor, the thing I might be navigating into Decision Center for is to model the purchase of that boat, but also look at a probability of success metric, for example, on that Monte Carlo summary report. So in this case, lifetime portfolio value might be a secondary report that I'm looking at. I think alternatively, let's say the advisor is live with a client. The client has now come into my office as an advisor. I'm about to walk them through their financial picture and have that be this segue into this advice that I'm giving them. I might be starting off with something a little bit more foundational, like the client's balance sheet, in order to recap what their financial situation is or some of those basics before moving on to some of the more output-focused reports. So I think it's going to depend on what the objective is and what the planning style is. But I think this is one of the really big strengths about Decision Center, is its versatility. And I think this is a good point to expand on a little bit, because the versatility of Decision Center is a really big focus of ours going forward. What I mean by that is we recognize how different every advisor is and how different kind of their approaches to planning are. So we not only want to expand the depth of functionality in Decision Center, but also give advisors the ability to kind of customize their Decision Center experience to make it more of their own. So you mentioned lifetime portfolio value being that default. Well, can we allow advisors to select what their default is? Or can we allow advisors to take all those reports in Decision Center, which will expand over time, and curate that to be more of their own type of reports ecosystem? Which reports do they care about? And then they can navigate right within those reports. So it depends the starting point, what you're trying to accomplish. We are working towards a world where the advisor can be the one to decide where that starting point is for all of their clients, or for, you know, in different spots for each individual client. Let advisors curate their own experiences. So, good question.
Thank you. You definitely brought up a great point. I mean, we're working with, you know, advisors who are working with clients on these personal financial plans, and it's exactly that. It's personal. So we want it to be a very customizable experience for clients. And with that, we understand that advisors are probably using other tools, not just eMoney, in creating these robust, comprehensive financial plans, or maybe they're not creating something as comprehensive as that, but they are likely using other tools in the financial technology space. Do you see advisors utilize the Decision Center in eMoney alongside any other fintech tools?
Oh, yes, for sure. I think this is a good one to also spend a little bit of time on. The answer is absolutely yes. I think, you know, thematically speaking, planning is just one part of what advisors need to do in order to manage wealth for their clients. So if the job is kind of wealth management, there's likely lots of different things that are involved with being able to do that. Lots of different pieces of fintech in order to make that job possible. They're also utilizing, for example, portfolio analytics tools in order to model out portfolios, and then trade execution software to bring that to life. And, you know, they're using separate performance reporting tools in order to track performance of those portfolios over time and ultimately relate that back to financial planning outcomes. They're using, you know, research portals in order to inform their portfolio management decisions that they're making in the first place. So there's this interplay between all of these different pieces of technology that is happening today and that we must better facilitate planning decisions. I mean, think about this. Decisions you make in a financial planning tool could very likely impact the decisions that you would be making from a portfolio management standpoint. For example, if you were to model delaying your client's retirement by a couple of years, that all of a sudden elongates the time horizon that your investment portfolio has, which might necessitate a tweak to that asset allocation or to the investments within that portfolio, or vice versa. Decisions made in portfolio management context impact financial planning results. So there's definitely, there's this interplay between all these different pieces of fintech. There's this universe out there that advisors have open on their computers all day, every day, in order to do that one wealth management job. And I think this is an area that we are excited about because, meaning the interplay between these different pieces of fintech, because planning sits at the foundation of it all. You first develop a financial plan and then you bring that plan to life. It's like the equivalent of if you want to build your dream home, the first thing you're probably doing is laying out this architectural plan for what that home is going to look like, how it's going to function, all the different things within it, what kind of floors you have, what the kitchen vibe is, and then you are bringing those to life. So the architectural plan is the financial plan, and the pieces that bring it to life, the construction and all the wood and concrete and all that, those are the investment products that ultimately bring that to life. So we are sitting in a great spot because we have the ability to pull those pieces together and ultimately make that broader job easier for users.
Which is so exciting. And I think it's really cool to see how eMoney can really come alongside these other tools to make that a great experience for advisors and then ultimately for clients. You touched earlier in the podcast a little bit about collaboration within financial planning between that client and advisor. How does the Decision Center and the features that it offers really enhance that client-advisor relationship?
Yeah, so in the past, like if you look at kind of the history of how advisor and client interactions have evolved over time, there was this time where it was the advisor presenting at a client. So the advisor and client have a conversation, the advisor does some work, and then presents the plan or some alternatives to that client. And then they have a discussion about that plan and maybe those alternatives, and we kind of move forward from there. But planning is evolving more into bringing clients into that process to be active, engaged participants in shaping their own financial lives. So think of that house example I just brought up. If you were building your dream home, you likely do not go to some contractor and say, I want my dream home, you know, let's talk about it, and then I'll see you later when it's built. You're likely engaging in that process. There's trade-off decisions to be made. If I want this kitchen, I might need to sacrifice these floors or vice versa. And so what Decision Center allows is for that to take place in a very real way that has not been previously very easy for advisors to do. And when we do that, when we allow for that type of collaborative back and forth, we are bringing the clients are literally participating in shaping their life. And so they're much more bought into the process. And I think that goes a really long way in order to building trust between advisor and client, ultimately strengthening that bond. A lot less presenting at and a lot more collaboration between the two.
Absolutely. I would believe that the more a client can understand what is being presented to them or shared with them, the better off everyone is who's involved, which is obviously what we want to leave them with. So kind of getting into inspiring our listeners into where to go from here, how they can continue to use the Decision Center in their planning practice. What is one of the ways that you hope to see advisors use the Decision Center that you maybe don't see every day?
So one of the things that we touched on this earlier in the podcast, and one of the things that we tend to here when talking with users about when or how to use Decision Center is folks will say, well, I don't do planning in front of my client, or I don't yet collaborate interactively with that. I would rather kind of have a conversation, go away, do my work, and then come back to the client. And that's totally fine. But I think what's important that I hope that folks can take away is that, kind of back to the beginning, is Decision Center serves two very important functions. It is not just a presentation mechanism, something to use when live with clients. It also functions as a very powerful financial planning tool that can benefit advisors when they're preparing for client meetings. You can create all the same actions, view the same outputs, access the same plans that you would be able to in other parts of the tool, but you can do so and see the impacts of things in a much more granular way and in a much quicker, more responsive way. So it functions as a very efficient planning tool. It does things in ways that you cannot achieve, at least not easily, in other parts of our tool today. So I think the takeaway, what I would hope to see advisors leveraging Decision Center for, is even if you're not yet or do not believe it should be part of your practice to present interactively with the client, that is fine. It still is an incredibly powerful planning tool, aside from being a great presentation mechanism.
That's great. I'm really happy that you're able to kind of share that with them and hopefully give them ideas of ways that they can use it that maybe they haven't thought of or they haven't seen yet. Speaking of things that they haven't seen yet, What is one thing on the pipeline for the Decision Center that you're looking forward to advisors having access to?
You know, the thing we talked about earlier about better empowering advisors to curate their own experiences within Decision Center, that's important because we're actively working on that today. And one of the ways that this is going to manifest itself, it's going to manifest itself in a number of ways, but the one on deck is a capability that we refer to as multi-view. So today in Decision Center, users have the ability to view one chart at a time. With multi-view, you will have the ability to set up these dashboard-like views containing whatever reports you care about. And then you can save those dashboard-like views so that you can access them whenever you want. You can save a number of them across whatever topics you want. So you could create one multi-view dashboard that is specific to Roth conversions. We were talking about that earlier. That dashboard might have the two new taxes charts and maybe the lifetime portfolio value chart. So that if you are doing Roth conversion analysis, you pull up this multi-view and you can see all this content that would be relevant at the same time without having to navigate between different reports. You could create a Monte Carlo multi-view or a plan summary multi-view that is higher level. So we're trying to work towards a world where advisors can make Decision Center whatever it is that would be helpful to how they do their own work or the types of narratives that they want to have with their clients. So multi-view is a really important one, and that's getting the spotlight very soon.
Awesome. Definitely something that continues to, I think, speak to the collaboration, the personalization of the Decision Center. Okay, we've talked a lot about the Decision Center and what it can do, a little bit about what people can expect to see in the future. Thematically, where is the Decision Center headed?
Great question. It's my favorite question. So there are three important things that we are looking to do with Decision Center going forward. Three things we're looking to achieve with that workspace. The first is we're looking to make planning within eMoney generally a lot easier to do by consolidating lots of functionality and content from different parts of the tool into Decision Center. So if you think of Decision Center today and its report library, for example, there's a small handful of reports across a couple of topics. We're looking to dramatically enhance that. So all of the content that you see in other parts of the tool, think of the reports tab, we're looking to migrate all of that into Decision Center. We're also looking to make it so that you can edit anything or create any technique right from within Decision Center. So think of all the functionality that exists inside the advanced planning tool or in the facts experience, all of that being accessible from within Decision Center. So that's thing number one. Consolidating content and functionality into Decision Center, eliminating the need to hop around between different workspaces. The second important thing that we're looking to do with Decision Center is evolve it into a much more intelligent tech partner to our users. Our users might have already noticed the enhancements we've made into the insights section in Decision Center, where there's a couple of different Monte Carlo solvers. We're looking to dramatically enhance that workspace going forward to the point where a user can come into Decision Center, click onto the insights tab, and the tool will assess everything known about the client and surface up a long series of observations or insights that are relevant to that client, eliminating or dramatically reducing the need for the advisor to have to manually analyze and create those actions him or herself. So that's thing number three, a much more intelligent Decision Center. And then the third thing, this goes back to some comments that we made earlier in the podcast about recognizing the interplay between financial planning and other parts of wealth management. So other fintech experiences like performance or portfolio analytics, et cetera. So what we're looking to do is to create a much more deeper set of integrations within Decision Center so that users can pull up performance reports right from within Decision Center. It would not be eMoney turning ourselves into a performance engine, but creating the front-end user experience or those reports that are populated with data from those third-party fintechs to create a much more seamless experience for advisors. Performance views right next to traditional financial planning reports. Same thing with portfolio analytics types reports, et cetera. So bringing a lot more of those other wealth management fintech experiences into Decision Center as well, creating a real central hub for wealth management. So good question.
All of these things will be really cool to see unfold in eMoney alongside everything else we have going on. Josh, thank you so much for your time today, for telling our listeners a little bit more about the Decision Center. You are truly a vault of knowledge when it comes to the Decision Center. So I'm hopeful that this information will be really helpful for them and leave them inspired to use the Decision Center in new ways in the financial planning process for their clients. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Josh on the Decision Center. We've definitely got some exciting things coming, and as part of that, we would love to hear from you on what exactly it is that you want to know more about. We welcome all of our podcast feedback over at knowledgebasedcontent@emoneyadvisor.com. So share your thoughts and ask your questions there, and we'll catch you on another episode soon.